shiny little Rover. Glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself tonight?
Good.
Great. We're missing our cohort again.
Yeah.
But she'll be back next week, and who knows, we might hear from her. She's back stateside just finding her way home.
Yeah.
Lost little lamb. Anyway, we are a call-in show coming to you live, 527-486-8186-KVNF now. And then we also take your emails at worm, at kvnf.org. And we got some good emails during the show last week.
Yeah, that was
exciting. So Jeff's in the studio, though, ready to take your call. And this is an email that came in from Marilyn. And Marilyn has a picture that she sent along. Really great picture. We might ask Jeff to put that up on the website for us. We have two nests of bees or wasps, not sure which one, near railroad ties that border the yard. And they don't seem to be overly aggressive, and she's never seen that kind of nest. Any ideas what they are and if they're beneficial? Can you kind of describe what's happening there?
It's just all this debris with a hole, and the debris in like a pyramid shape.
Yeah, like a giant cone pyramid
and,
with a giant entrance.
And
entrance
it has a big hole right in the middle there. And I actually think what it is that's all the debris from tunneling into that railroad tie.
Oh, just pulling it out and stacking it up.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. That railroad tie is probably pretty rotten on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been there, but there's bumblebees. And there's certain wasps, but there are definitely bumblebees that will burrow into these places.
So you're thinking it's a bumblebee.
Yeah, and I don't think it's definitely beneficial. It's going to be eating bugs and stuff like that. And if it is burrowing into the ground, the other thing that these animals do that most people won't think is they're aerating the soil, just like worms do. Only it's in a different form, much bigger hole, more water and air can come down.
Right.
Yeah.
Just helping all of that decompose part of that whole process.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you, Marilyn. Great picture that you sent.
Yeah, I've not seen that kind of pile of debris, but that's what I pretty much sure think.
Yeah,
it is.
Like a little hut, like a little African hut almost.
Yeah, when you dig a hole, the stuff's got to go someplace.
Right. I like it. Okay, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. And last week we were talking a little bit about cover crops, keeping everything covered. But I'm going to go, excuse me, Lance, I'm just going to shoot over here to Daryl in Peach Valley with a question. He's on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
I am fine, thank you.
What's going on in Peach Valley?
Oh, it's windy and rainy and full of flies. But I have a question for Lance that involves a black bug that's about, inch and a half long. And it's wormy type, but it crawls on the ground. It's not a centipede. It doesn't have the legs sticking out, but it just crawls. I have a lot of them all of a sudden.
Oh,
all of a sudden. What my suspicion, I've not seen this bug, but my suspicion, if you've had it just now, it either just hatched out and it's the larva, or it's the larva that's just going into the adult stage.
Yeah, but what the heck is it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
It's black and buggy.
Yeah. I'd have to look that up.
Oh.
But no legs.
No legs sticking out. No. It definitely crawls. It's faster than a worm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hump up. It just crawls like a centipede, but it has no legs sticking out.
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
It's
black. Maybe there's somebody out there that maybe knows what that is. They can give us a call.
There you go.
Yeah, because, you know, just
might have the big insect book that we could look that up. Black, no legs.
I've looked it up too, but I haven't found it.
I suspect it's a larva then. You know, it's a little bit easier to identify the adults and then go.
And what do you think it will turn into as an adult?
A beautiful butterfly.
It could be some type of moth, or it'll be a moth, it'll be a fly, or it'll be a butterfly.
And if I don't think so. This thing is strange.
Maybe it's even could
an
be
alien.
A beetle. It could
yeah,
be, it could maybe. Be a beetle.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a very strange creature. It just doesn't, you pick it up and it curls around your finger.
Huh. Now, have you seen these guys before?
No.
No, it could be one of those things that only comes out every 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I figure the Forest Service is spraying my land with these things.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I figure.
Send us a pic of that to worm@kvnf.org if you've got an email there, Daryl.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to identify it one of these days.
Yeah.
Let us know how he morphs.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Daryl.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That sounds kind of creepy.
Yeah, and there are definitely things that come out every 7 years, every 5 years.
Right.
And sometimes you have say, 10, 15 years ago, we had a certain type of cutworm that was actually extremely cold tolerant, and it almost ruined the entire garlic crop because
that was
what was coming up at the time.
Uh-huh.
And there was thousands of them. And I haven't seen them since, but it was just that 1 year.
Yeah.
And luckily, I was very persistent, and I spent about 4 hours in my garlic patch digging up every single one of them. I actually dug them up.
Really? You took care of it by hand?
By hand. Put them in a bucket. I pulled hundreds and hundreds out of my garlic
patch. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, while you're talking about garlic, 527-486-8186, KVNF. Now, you're getting ready, you're planning about where you're going
to
plant.
Yeah, I'm just starting to look around where I know one place that I'll put one variety, but I have four varieties. So I have more than that space can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at what's coming out early.
And it's okay to plant those varieties together if you have
the they're
space.
Not going to cross. That's not a problem. That particular space is going to be one variety.
Yeah. And when is that going to go in? What about
October? I did it a little early last year, and the garlic didn't really like that because it came up too early. It came up last fall and wintered over, and there's one variety that I almost lost because it didn't like that at all.
It didn't like that winter.
So I'm going to try to do late October, early November.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
And just start thinking about that.
Yeah, just looking out. Things are coming out, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Hey, it's Duna in Norwood on the line. Good evening, Duna.
Hello.
Oh, let's see if Jeff can get her on the line there. And he's working feverishly on that. Did I say that right, Duna? Do you think I did?
I think so.
I think I did, too. I hope I did, Duna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear what's going on down there in Norwood. And here she comes. Hi, Duna.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. We're on solar, and our power just went out, and I had to run upstairs. The gentleman's bug may be called a rove beetle. I have a lot of them, too. They look like little centipede kind of thingies, but without legs, and they're a highly good, well-regarded beneficial.
Oh, fabulous.
A rose beetle?
Rove. R-O-V-E.
Got it.
As in roving around the garden.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Great.
Yeah. They're probably eating organic matter and breaking things down. And
yeah, exactly.
They might even eat eggs of other insects and stuff. I'm just making an assumption. I'll have to read up on it.
Yeah. I had to run upstairs to grab the phone, so I missed the last part of his description. But that was my first obvious guess.
Yeah, and Duna, you know, Daryl said that this he hadn't seen them before, that this is kind of a new bug. Is this new to you, or do you have these
rove
beetles? No,
this is something that was new to me about 10 years ago.
Oh.
And I thought it was something that might be nasty, and I discovered it to be a very, very good beneficial. If he's maybe just starting a compost pile or something, he may find that that's why they're just starting to arrive into his garden.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and there's not much organic matter out in Peach Valley.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So if he's making an organic garden and you know, accumulating organic material.
Jeff just
shot
up.
That would be about probably where I live, which is just juniper and spruce, couple spruce trees.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to check that out. And that sounds great. It's great to hear there's a new beneficial bug in your garden. Or yard, huh?
Yeah.
Good deal. Thank you, Duna.
All right. Thanks.
All righty. All righty.
Good
night.
Sweet. Okay. All right, Daryl, think about that Rove beetle and if that's going to fit the bill. Now, Jeff just shot a picture of the larva up here. Looks like they have legs on it. I think Daryl was saying no legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. 527-486-8166 KVNF now. And let's talk about those cover crops.
Oh, okay. What I was thinking about, just something I, over the week after the show last week talking about it, was where are those cover crop seeds coming from?
Right.
You know, we talk about being sustainable and all this and organic, but I almost guarantee you that the vast majority of that seed is not organic. And the buckwheat, is there's only one place in the United States that that is cleaned, and that's in New York State. So it has to be all shipped to that place in New York State and then shipped clear across the country.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the other one is like the rye and the trapper pea, field pea that I got last year came from Canada. So these are just things to think about, you know, and maybe we can pursue trying to get the seed companies to grow crops closer to home.
There you go. Yeah. There, that makes sense. And so this buckwheat that we're all planting, how do you know whether it's been cleaned or not?
Well, it would be dirty.
It would be dirty, actually.
You would have leaves and stems and stuff like that.
Oh,
and when you open
the
bag, it's just buckwheat seeds.
Goodness gracious, that would seem like something that could be done in all parts of the United
States. Yeah, it used to be. It used to be.
Uh-huh.
But because of industrialization and cheap, at one time, cheap oil, this is what happened.
Right. And industrial thinking, Lance, you were talking about that a little bit earlier.
This way that, well, this labor, I'm going to do this thing, and you're going to do this, and somebody else is going to do that. And nobody wants to, and very few people want to do actual farming.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes such an extreme amount of labor, time, to actually grow food that everybody needs to have their hands in it. Every single person. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, 80% of the population was in food production.
Wow.
10% were in the cities.
Wow.
It is more like 90% are now in the cities, and only about 3% are actually doing food production. People having gardens and stuff like that.
But not actually farming for the
Yeah, and
the
so
rest
we just
us.
Need to have – add. We need to raise the wages of farmers. Right now they're probably getting minimum wage or less.
Right.
And how do you expect good food to show up if we're not going to pay what is the basis of all society?
Right.
You know, is food production. Everybody needs to eat.
Yep. That's a great point to make.
Get out there and help.
Yep. Get out there and help, and let's change that ratio and support your farmers.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's kind of like talking about organic and buying organic, and we'll have that conversation at another time.
Yeah.
Because we have the Lula Bell on the line from Glenwood Springs, and I'm sure she has something to say about that. Hi, Lulu.
Hi, guys. You sound like you're having so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, cool.
Well, buenos dias.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Right, so I do have something to say about that. The resort where the wedding took place, that where I was in Cancun, has a huge greenhouse, and they grow most of the fruits and vegetables that they use in their restaurants in the resort.
Nice,
great.
It's astonishing. I mean, it was the most amazing. Fresh food spread every morning for breakfast and lunch and dinner. I mean, it's amazing because, of course, they can grow everything there, right?
Yeah,
mangoes, sure.
Papayas, avocado, It was, and they had astonishing, they had baby spinach. They must have some kind of real climate control in those greenhouses, or they just, I don't know what they do. You can't live down there without air conditioning, so maybe they do air conditioning.
They could do that. They could use shade cloths. And I suspect it's short day lengths, so it's not that long.
Yes, Yeah, and you could use evaporation method, or they're very clever with how they use their water, because, of course, they don't have a lot of fresh water. So they could cool it by just running salt water through.
Yeah.
Obviously not in the beds and things.
No, but in pipes.
Yeah, in pipes, or, you know, blowing it on streams and like a swamp cooler or something. But it was amazing. And, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how, there it was, the total closed loop. And their whole recycling system was amazing as well. They were really, really on it. So all of the garbage went to their compost piles, which went into their greenhouse. And, you know, there you have it. It was working.
Wow.
Great. That is great to hear.
Yeah, it was really cool. And today, the NPR, did you guys listen to it at all about climate change and all that?
Didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the report just came out from 13 different agencies, and the world is definitely heating up. It's definitely human-caused, and this is what they were saying. And so I just want to say to everybody, because I want you guys to be able to get more calls, I want to say to everybody, unplug your dryer. Eat a lot of peaches.
Right. Eat from your garden.
Yeah, really.
And support farmers.
Yeah.
Support farmers. They're on their own.
Right.
So all that good stuff. So anyway.
Right on, Lulu.
I will see you all soon. And hello, everybody. And carry on. And
good deals.
Like that.
Okay. Safe travels home. See you next week.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Good. Great to hear from her, and love hearing that stuff about, you know, people closing that loop and just making that work for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just curious, with such a nice growing season there, which is
all year round,
the greenhouse thing sort of makes me think why, except for maybe they have the extreme weather of hurricanes.
Sure.
And it's a way to protect them.
Right.
You know.
And what about bug protection?
It could be bug protection, too.
Yeah, good way just to control your environment a little bit more, would it be?
Yeah. And, I mean, you could not grow spinach outside there.
Too hot.
It's too hot.
Right, interesting. Yeah, it'd be nice to see that operation. Mm-hmm. Okay, 527-4868-1866 KVNF. Now, you were talking about the day length down there, and the day length here is definitely changes. It's amazing how fast it's going, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, and that coincides with watering.
Right.
I haven't watered. We had those nice rains, and I haven't watered for 5 days now.
Oh, wow.
And, but we need, as the days shorten, and it will still get warm, but they're shortening that, you got to watch out for overwatering now.
Watch out for overwatering. Yeah. And you're going to do that still by sticking your finger in the soil?
Yes, and watching plants and stuff like that. And like my dry beans, I'll probably water them once more and just let them go, except for those late planted pintos. But the dry beans, the Montezuma Reds, Swedish Browns, Bolitas, and I got two different types of tepperies, which are natives from the Southwest.
Oh, yummy.
So they're technically dry land. They actually do better if you don't water them, you know, maybe half as much.
So the beans are getting cut off.
Yeah, they're going to be cut off.
Right.
The white tepary, they're indeterminate, which means they just keep on growing until frost or drought gets them.
Oh, okay.
And so if you keep watering them, they keep growing, but then
you don't give them time to...
Yeah, you don't get them time to mature those beans, so it's actually better to cut the water off at a certain point.
Cut them off, yeah. All right, good deal. So watering's a little bit tricky now.
Yeah,
with
just
the
rain
and the day length.
And, yeah, and you got to pay attention and don't overwater.
Right. And the sun changing where it's shining on, I mean, which bed it's on, and just the length there.
Length is there.
Yeah.
And this is time I mentioned that you really want your rows north, south, over east, west. Because if it's an east-west bed, if you have your rows, say, like my popcorn, well, the north side of that is all shaded. That's Montezuma red beans. So I have to pay attention a little bit more and not water that. I'm going to, like I said, water them one more time and no more, because they're actually in shade now.
Gotcha.
You know, the sun's starting.
The plants are shading it out.
Yeah, the corn is, what did I say?
Yeah, your popcorn's pretty big.
eight 8 feet tall. Popcorn's 8 feet tall. The sunflowers in it are 10 feet.
Wow.
And this was with no fertilizer.
Wow.
This just watering it. Uh-huh. And the popcorn, if you have good soil, can have up to 5 to 6 years per stalk. Now, right now, mine are 3 to 5.
Wow, you're going to have a good crop.
Yeah, and it's really fun to see all those ears, all those silks coming out, because that's the ears. And if it's a long enough season, the side shoots, the suckers that people used to pull off of sweet corn, they actually can produce an ear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you leave it.
On the popcorn.
Yeah, on the popcorn. Uh-huh. It will actually produce an ear if you leave it on long enough.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good popcorn crop
yeah,
for the winter.
Yeah, we're
going
to have fun with that one.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, it's Sue in Ridgeway on the line with a question. Good evening, Sue.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
This may actually go along with what you were just saying about overwatering, now that you speak that. But I was noticing that my basil had looked really good. Like, it was just wonderful. And it's in my greenhouse down in Ridgeway because our nights are getting cold already.
Sure.
But then it started looking really sad, a little bit splotchy and kind of, I don't know, just not quite as spunky as it had been looking.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's too much water?
I think it's too much water. They'll start to get yellowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when I'm picking the basil, do I just cut off the whole top branch or do I just cut leaves?
Well, I was actually picking basil this morning and where they branch out at the next joint below, it'll put out new shoots.
Okay.
So you want to pinch out. I can pinch them out. You could use little scissors or pruners or even a knife to cut it off there. And then the side shoots will come up and do some more.
So not just the leaves themselves, but the whole
center
plant.
Yeah, because if you do the leaves, those shoots right there where the leaves are, all they're doing is going straight to seed.
Okay.
So if you pinch back to those other joints, it produces more leaves before it's going to make seed.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because it looks like it might want a little bit of pruning anyway. So maybe I'll just start there.
Yeah, and just pinch it back.
Okay, and back off the water a little.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks as always.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Sue.
Okay.
Good to
Bye.
Hear from you. All right. 527-486-8-1-866 KVNF now. And, pinching off and pruning the basil and that kind of thing. Is it okay to prune different bushes and things that you see that are just long and lanky and you just want to like take care of that? Or should you wait until it's actually
Well, we did lavender last week.
Yeah.
So
took care of that.
Yeah. If they're getting long and leggy and you want to trim them back, you know, the hard thing is you don't want to do it too late because it will stimulate growth. And that goes into winter not hardened off.
Right.
So you got this month and maybe into mid-September. And after that, I wouldn't do it, especially on your roses.
Gotcha. That's a good tip there.
But that'd be mid-September, mid to late September, depending on the season. You sort of get a sense of it.
Right.
You know, so you can do it. And you can always cut deadwood out whenever you want to.
There you go. Deadwood out.
Yeah.
Get that cleaned out.
Yeah.
All right. 527-486-8-1-866 KVNF now. And let's talk about these beds that you've got prepped for your fall planting. Because you've got some fall stuff in already, like your beets and your radishes.
So I've prepped all those and I said that I cleaned everything up, put almost an inch of compost on that. And then I didn't use the broad fork, but I used the spading fork. But I didn't turn the soil. I just pushed it in and wiggled the fork back and forth. So some aerated it and some of that compost falls back down.
Sure.
Into those holes. Mm-hmm. And I planted, made my rows and planted away.
Okay. And you've got what left to plant for fall harvest?
For fall harvest, I will plant another patch of lettuce and cilantro and green onions. I will plant a little bit more spinach and maybe another patch of the China rose radish. That's a daikon. That's a red radish.
Right. So you're still planting salad.
I'm still planting salad now. Yeah.
Sure. That's great.
Yeah. And I'm still thinning. Still got to thin kale. Still got to thin I'm going to have to thin all these things I've just planted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And last week we talked about your carrot bed and that first bed of carrots, harvesting that.
I'm harvesting that. There's about 20 pounds in there left that's of usable carrots. There's a bunch of smaller ones. And it's a specific variety called Rumbas.
Ooh, nice.
And the tops get at best 6 inches, but the bottoms can get 7 to 8 inches long. It's sort of funny to see this short top and you pull out this big carrot.
Wow, yeah.
And the trick with the Rumbas is, and you won't find it commercially anymore because it will crack down the side.
Oh, sure,
so the
okay.
trick is that you don't let them get big.
Got to pick them right at the
yeah.
right time
yeah.
right before
and
they
so
start to.
I'm going to pick the rest of those this next week or so, clean that bed up, and start getting it ready for, I'm going to do that late planting of spinach, which last year... We had it for months and months and months. And
that
this
was amazing.
Yeah,
really.
And we'll see what happens. But
like
it will be planted mid-September.
Okay.
Yeah.
The spinach is going in mid-September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the last bed that I'm putting compost on. And then all the other compost I'm making is for next year.
Okay. So you're on your last bed of compost.
Of actually, that I'm going to actually fertilize this year.
Okay, this year.
Yeah.
But you're still making compost.
Yeah, I'll make compost clear into October.
And you're going to be using that for next year.
And that'll be next year. Mm-hmm. I'll have a big, big, big pile of finished compost.
Yeah, you want to finish it. You finish your compost.
Yeah.
You don't let it sit over the winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's because what?
Well,
do that?
And it's just how I do things. You can do it mm-hmm. any way you want.
Sure.
Most people
Why
make a big
it?
Pile in the fall time because they have all that organic matter and let it sit all winter, and it eventually breaks down. And I like to have this finished compost because in the fall, so that when I get ready to start planting in the spring, I have this huge pile ready.
It's ready to go. Yeah.
And stuff. And all the garden waste in the fall will be put in a big pile. And some years I've actually laid it with manure, and some years I don't. It just mm-hmm. depends on my time and stuff that I do. And that will sit there all winter, and all my gray water from the kitchen sink
mm-hmm.
goes
right there.
Goes onto that pile of just, and it's amazing. You know, it does work during the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Great. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got time for another call, 527-4868, 1-866. KVNF now. I forgot to check our email, Lance.
Okay.
And we'll see if we've got something there. But let's talk about critters. You had an interesting observation on the sparrows around your garden.
Oh, the sparrows?
Yeah.
This is the third hatching of babies.
Wow. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. And I only know because I can hear the chirpings from
uh-huh,
being
right.
fed. And then and I'll hear that for a week or so, and then I won't hear any for 2 or 3 weeks. And here comes the next batch.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
I realize now that that's actually the reason that my young lettuce gets chewed on.
Oh, really? The sparrows are coming down.
The sparrows mm-hmm. are eating it. The sparrows love lettuce or greens, and they find it. They didn't take the big lettuce. They took just the small lettuce. And so I've had to, in fact, I was driving out my driveway. I says, "Up! Oh, I didn't put the cayenne pepper on the lettuce." And I backed up and went out in the garden. And it seems to stop them.
Yeah, I think it would stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it is Katie from Crawford on the phone with a question. Good evening, Katie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's
I think
going?
I know this, Katie.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
What's going
yeah.
on?
Hey. I could use some advice on making my big, beautiful green tomatoes into big, beautiful red tomatoes.
There you go.
If you have any for that.
There's still plenty of time yet. Of course, who knows?
In yeah.
Crawford, you might get a frost next week. But stop watering them.
Right.
It's as simple
yeah.
as that. You know,
stop
and before the real hard frost comes, you pull the whole plant out and hang it in the house someplace, hang it upside down,
right.
and they'll ripen that way.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, how did the spring garlic do?
The spring garlic did great. Thank
okay.
you so much, Lance.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Good.
You
know, I don't know. Lots of people I've mentioned that they talked to me about their green tomatoes, and the problem with not watering for them is they've got it so companion planted that
It's hard to.
They got all these other plants that actually need water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a game. You got to play back and forth. So if there's nothing around them, stop watering them. And oh, cut the tips off. They're not going to, those things that are still blooming and growing, that those are not going to make.
Right.
Take the suckers off.
And the growing tips, take them off.
Yeah, Lulu was talking about pruning her tomatoes or tomatoes last week.
Yeah, those things that are still growing now, the growing tips, and they're starting to still blooming, prune them off. And that sends all the energy into ripening those tomatoes.
So you mean the very top, the growth point, the very tip?
The very top, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, I'll give it a go. Thanks for the
garlic.
Good
luck with that.
All right. All right, you're welcome.
For being here, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Well, Lance, we all appreciate you sharing bits and pieces of your garden here and there because they're tasty tidbits. And that is another show.
Yeah.
Another half hour gone by, turning the worms. And Lulu will be back next week, next Tuesday.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
6:30 p.m. as usual. And it's DJ Leah Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective next on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Have a good evening.
Good night.
With taillight neon, you've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, lowly the